Parable of Two Sons, Matthew chapter 21. Let's look at verse 23 because this is what sets it up. When Jesus returned to the temple and began teaching, the leading priests and the elders came up to him. They demanded, "By what authority are you doing all these things? Who gave you the right?" "I'll tell you by what authority I do these things if you answer one question," Jesus replied. "Did John's authority to baptize come from heaven, or was it merely human?" They talked it over themselves. "If we say it was from heaven, he will ask us why we didn't believe John. But if we say it was merely human, we'll be mobbed because the people believe John was a prophet." So they finally replied, "We don't know." And Jesus responded, "Then I won't tell you by what authority I do these things." You know, sometimes, don't you love Jesus? Because he can be a little smarty pants. You know, I love that about him. Continuing on, "But what do you think about this? A man with two sons told the other older boy, 'Son, go out and work in the vineyard today.' Son answered, 'No, I won't go.' But later he changed his mind and went anyway. His father told the other son, 'You go.' And he said, 'Yes, sir, I will.' But he didn't go. Which of the two obeyed his father?" They replied, "The first." And Jesus explained his meaning. "I tell you the truth, corrupt tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you do. For John the Baptist came and showed you the right way to live, but you didn't believe him, while tax collectors and prostitutes did. And even when you saw this happening, you refused to believe him and repent of your sins." I hope you'll be in prayer for Pastor Dan, who's over at Gateway West, and myself. We leave later on today to be a part of a missions forum over in North Carolina. We'll be there for 3 days, and purpose of that trip is to try to raise funds for Nexus and also try to raise funds for Gateway West. And so that's going to be a pivotal time for all of us as we move forward. To give you a little bit of an update on Gateway West as we launch that new church, they're averaging about 86 adults plus kiddos, and so they're hitting right at the 100 mark, and so things are going well for them. They've still got a long ways to go financially. That's usually just the way that it rolls, but they're getting there, and so it's exciting. It's, you know, really one of the fastest growing church plants. That's not only happened in a metro area of a city nationally, but certainly locally as well. And so I'm excited to see what God has been doing through them, the baptisms they've been having there, families being reunited. And so it's just a really, really cool time to watch and see what God's doing. So don't miss it. Okay, it's easy to overlook that and go, "Oh, well, yeah, they've got 100. I had a local pastor at Cuyahoga Valley, Rick Duncan. He looked at me and he said, "That's the best church plant launch that we've done in our network in 20-something years." Okay? So to help you understand that, okay, that's coming from Rick Duncan's perspective. He's not just throwing that out there because he's helped plant a lot of churches. He said, "That's the best one so far." And so a lot of great things are happening. And so don't miss God during those moments. As we talk about the parable of the two sons, the point that Jesus was trying to make is don't miss what God's up to. Don't miss it. And you know, one of the things that Jesus says here, and it's a stinging, stinging indictment to all of these religious people is this: you didn't even understand that God was at work, so much so that tax collectors and prostitutes are coming into the kingdom of God, and you're nowhere to be found. I don't know about you. I would never want Jesus to say that about me. Now then, to help you kind of understand, you know, I don't know that we're that keen on tax collectors today, but there was a huge difference between tax collector now and tax collector back then. Tax collector back then was told by Romans, here's what you need to collect from your area. So let's just say that you had the 44113 code to go and collect taxes, and they would say to you, from this area, you ought to be able to collect X number of taxes. Now, here was the beauty of having a tax collector job. As long as you met the quota, they didn't care what you did, which means if you didn't like somebody, you could charge them extra. And by law, they had no recourse. So you tell me, if your quota, let's say, is $100,000 from 44113, and let's say you collect 150, where does the extra 50 go? In your bank account. So while we still today don't have a great, let's say, likability with the IRS, okay, while we kind of don't like all of that stuff, the bottom line is, for people in that day, not only did they not like the taxes being taken, but the guy could show up and say, you know, I don't like your attitude. The other day you cut my little cart off in the marketplace, you know, and I don't like that. Or the other day you baked bread and my wife said it was the worst bread she's ever had. You're going to get even more taxes. And so this is the level that Jesus is saying, these are thieves, employed thieves, and prostitutes. And he looks at all the religious guys, man. And I know we always think of Jesus as this sweet little guy, and he was all loving, and for God so loved the world. And you know, he said all that, but he said some pretty tough stuff. So I want us to talk a little bit this morning about why don't we go to the vineyard, okay? Jesus looks at him and says, hey, there's two sons. One of them says, no, I'm not going to go. He winds up going. The other one says, yeah, I'm going to go. And he winds up not going. So I want us to look at four different areas, okay? This probably doesn't encapsulate everything, but I think it'll get us close. First area and first reason why we don't go to the vineyard is this. We just don't want to, okay? We don't want to really work. We don't want to really have to serve. And that just rubs us the wrong way. And at least we're honest enough to look at God and say, you know, I'm not going to go do that. I'm not going to go serve. I'm not going to go help. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to get up early. I don't want to be nice to people that have been mean to me. I don't want to forgive people that I don't feel like are worthy of forgiveness. I'm just not going to do it. And so we're not going to spend much time there except to say this. This at least is a person who's honest. At least this is a person who is rebellious and says, you know, I'm just not going to go work. He's not like these two dudes that would say one answer and then go do the exact opposite. So sometimes we're in that category. And if you haven't been in that category before, I'd be shocked. Because every day you and I make a decision whether or not we're going to be a part of what God's doing. And so there's just some days that if you're really honest, you're just going to say, you know, I'm just burnt out. I don't know that I really want to do anything nice for somebody else today. I don't know that I want to forgive that person. I don't know that I really want to honor my father and mother. I don't know that I really want to do that. And so sometimes the point is we just go, not going to do that, God. Thanks, but no thanks. Okay? Second area is this. It's best left to the professionals, right? I mean, that's why we have pastors. That's why we have missionaries. It's what we pay them to go and do. I'm supposed to go to my job, give them a little something, and push them out the door. You know, I'm glad God called you and not me. So here's some bucks to take a little bit of the pain out, you know, when you go work in the vineyard for God. And so sometimes we look at other people and we go, you know, that's somebody else's responsibility. You notice what Jesus does here. He looks at the Pharisees and says, how did John baptize? Was that by God or humanity or what is that? And then he says a very interesting point. He says, hey, even the tax collectors and the prostitutes are a part of God's kingdom, and so much so that they're working, man. They're a part of this thing. They were the first person that said, no, I'm not going to have any part of God. I don't want any part of God. But then they realized, you know, it is the right thing. Jesus is who he said he was, and therefore, I'm going to have a total 180 in my life. I'm going to totally do something different with my life. But the problem is what American Christians have set up is this thing of, well, we have the workforce, you know, and then we have the clergy, okay? We have those religious people and those people who have surrendered their lives to the gospel and that sort of thing. And we pay them to do that work. Now, let me tell you where this usually lands in a traditional church. This really hasn't happened here, but in a traditional church, here's what happens. Pastor Alex, I've been praying a lot lately, and oh, man, God's just had on my heart that we need to do, and then you fill in the blank, ministry here in the church. Now, let me translate for you what that means. Pastor Alex, I'm paying your tail to get down there and do this ministry. Okay? And so I'm just letting you know right now that while I've been praying about this, this has little to do with me and all to do with you. And then therefore, you need to go and do that ministry. I'm going to tell you, in a lot of churches, that's what pastors do. And I mean, they will run around trying to please everybody else on what they think their ministry should be. So pretty soon, you know what the pastor's doing? They wanted a bus ministry to go pick up kids in the neighborhood, which is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Guess who's driving the bus? Yeah. Yeah. And you know why? Because somebody else really prayed about it. Pastor Alex, we just need to go pick up the kids. Don't you love the kids? You wouldn't want them to go to die and go to hell, would you, Pastor Alex? I mean, don't you love little kids? As a pastor, you should love little kids, shouldn't you? And see, what happens is it becomes a guilt. And the pastor goes, well, yeah, man, we got to love little kids. And then that person goes with them for a couple weeks, and they're like, you know, I got a family of my own and stuff like that. I can't do this every week. Man, I didn't realize it's going to take all this. And, man, the kids scream and yell. And then they get to church, and it's really rough. And then the next time that the pastor goes to the elders' meeting, they go, man, we got all these screaming kids running around. It's really distracting me. What are the kids doing here? Well, so-and-so is praying about it. Yeah, but, Pastor, you were driving the bus. You see what happens? All of a sudden, we go, no, you guys go, and Jesus didn't throw that out there. He was claiming that the former prostitutes and the former thieves were now working in the vineyard. And that's what they were up to. Man, it's a powerful indictment to hear that those who are religious are not a part of what God's doing. And those who were irreligious, those who we would have marginalized and said, oh, what could God ever do with them? Or if you've been like me where you believe the lie, even God couldn't reach that person. Some of you in this room may think, oh, I've got this friend, but man, they're so far gone. You don't ever give up as long as they have breath, because God hasn't given up on them. You know what we think? Oh, my brother, man, he's so far away. My sister, you don't understand. My aunt will never, they hate me for going to even church. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up, because God hadn't given up. I could tell you some stories of people that I thought were so far gone that they would never hear the gospel. And then what happened was they were like, man, all those years I was thinking about it all the time. I just didn't want anybody to know, because I thought I was soft. I want everybody to know I was tough. I've known of people that prayed for a spouse and even a former spouse for 30, 40 years. And all of a sudden, something happens in their life, and they suddenly get interested, and everybody goes, oh, I can't believe it. Why are we shocked? You know why we can't believe it? Because we really didn't. We shouldn't be shocked that God could reach the heart of a person that he created, but we are. Here's the next one. This is something I want to spend some time on this morning, because it's one that I don't think we think about too much, but it really comes into play. The third reason why we don't become a part of God's kingdom and work with him are blessings that came from God keep us from it. Let me explain to you. You're a single person. Happy Valentine's Day, by the way, okay? Oh, didn't you love it? You know, man, I was 30 when I got married. So all the single people, I feel you. Okay, I know. All right, I get all that. Okay? Happy Valentine's Day, man. That's one of the worst days. Sweetest day is dumb. American greetings, on you for coming up with that. All right? By the way, we don't celebrate that down south. Okay? So just move down south. If you're sick of all those holidays, we don't do sweetest day. I didn't know what that was till I came up here. And my father-in-law kept on saying, hey, you might want to get something for Sherry for sweetest day. He told it to me over the phone. I knew what Sherry's ancestry was, okay? So I go looking for a card to celebrate all the Swedish people. Oh, yeah, because she's got Swedish in her background. So I go, and I'm like, dude, I can't find a happy Swedish day. I thought that's what he said. He said, happy sweetest day, okay? There is a distinction. I'm like going, dude, well, they may celebrate a lot because the cards are all gone. And I finally came to Sherry. I was like, I have no idea what to do about this. Something about a Swedish day. And she's like, a Swedish day? I was like, your dad told me about it. And she goes, I don't even know what a Swedish day is. I said, well, he told me to get a card on. I'm like, my father-in-law's playing me, man. And then she goes, you mean sweetest day? I was like, could be. What's that? Come to find out, man, that was a whole American greetings thing. Did you all know that? That's who did it. Okay, there's only like two states, maybe three, that really celebrate that day. And that's Ohio, Michigan, Pennsylvania. That's about it. Down south, we don't know what you're talking about. Sweetest day, we're doing Valentine's once, okay? If you didn't feel loved on that day, too bad, okay? It'll come around again, all right? So happy Valentine's Day to everybody. But here's what happens. As single, you pray for somebody to get married to, and oh, man, God answers your prayer, and so then you get married, and so what happens is you spend like, I don't know, 3,000 years getting ready for that day, it seems like. And then you put all your money, all your energy, all your resources towards getting married. And so then you get married and then you're like, wow, you know, now we're married. So we got to get a house, right? Because everybody gets married, gets a house. We got to have a house, got to have a house. So then you get a house, but you get a house too far beyond your means. So now and both of you are working really, really hard just to make that mortgage payment just so you make it. But then you pray for kids and oh man, God blesses you with kids. And now you're like, wow, man, we've got good jobs. And we got great kids, and man, we got to keep the kids happy, so we got to buy a boat because our kids would be like mentally disturbed their entire life if they don't have a boat, and at least buy a pair of jet skis because man, we don't want the kids bored. Because when it does get warm around here, which is never, then we need to be able to go and do that. And then what happens is you pray and you go, wow, we got to have a place to put the boat because we can't just have it sitting in the garage because it's taking up space. So then we buy a lake house, you know, or at least rent one because we got to have a place for the kids to run around and play on, and we got to have jet skis and a boat and stuff out there. And do you see what happens? None of those are bad things, but they control every part of our lives. You know what the problem is for American Christians? The very blessings of God have become the very things that would separate us from Him. I want to challenge you, those of you who have families or you're planning on one day getting married and having a family, don't chase your kid around doing everything they want to do. It's good to do all those things. Man, I grew up playing sports. My dad was always at those games, mom and that sort of thing. But there was a line. There was a line. Because here's what we learned as a family. We're going to have fun doing all those things. Man, I loved playing basketball. Absolutely loved it. There was a line. I was involved in arts. I took piano forever. Didn't like it as much. Can you tell? I took violin. I majored in that in college. I did that so that I could get a scholarship, okay? I mean, all of those things. I did all that stuff. But there was a huge line. And the line was, is this. As a family, we're going to be on mission for God. That's what we're going to be about. It's not just about playing basketball. That's fun. But why? Well, my dad and mom would do it so that they could meet other people. And my dad would do it so that he could talk with other people about Christ in just a very conversational way. Not pushing it on them, but would talk to them. And you know something? If you're not careful, the very blessings that you prayed for will begin to separate you from God. Suddenly, oh, well, the kids have got all these other things going on. We're just not going to have time for growth group anymore. We're not going to have time for small group. Wow, we better have time for church. Well, now then soccer stuff's on Sunday. Oh, we got to get over there and get all that because our kid will be mentally deranged and we wouldn't want that, you know, as they get older. Pick your spots, but be in control. Do all those things. Have fun doing it, but know what the end game is. See, what we think is this. We think God's vineyard is Sunday morning church. That's just the planning meeting. You're just in the house. You're not in the vineyard. The vineyard is when you go to your job and you don't know about it, but someone next to you or someone in a meeting that you're about to go into is struggling at home, and they're not sure if their marriage is going to make it. And because you said a kind word, because maybe you said a prayer for that person or you encouraged them in some way, they get through that day, but they don't ever tell you. See, the vineyard is when you come across a stranger and you give them just a smile. And you didn't know that maybe that person was walking to find a bridge to jump off of. See, the vineyard is what you do every day. It's not some place that we magically go to like the Wizard of Oz, you know. It's not that. The vineyard is everyday life. You never know who's struggling. You never know who's hurting. And some of those that put on the biggest fake job in the world have got you sucked in thinking that everything's wonderful in their world. But if you pulled back the curtains to their life, you would go, oh, I didn't know. See, a lot of times we think, well, the vineyard's out there somewhere. No, it's not. It's where you walk every day. It's where God's placed you. But see, as Americans, we're so consumed with building our vineyard, we don't have time for God's. Our very blessings have pushed God away. I want to give to you a quote. It's our GPS, our good practical stuff for this morning. I came across it this last week, and I felt like it fit. It says, what we have received from God has taken preeminence over the God who received us. Don't let your stuff take over. Do I think it's wrong if somebody has all of those things that I described earlier? Nope. But what I would say to you is this. Maximize it for the kingdom. If it's just all about you and your family, that's pretty selfish. Maximize it for others to use. Bring them with you. Take them boating. Have fun with that stuff. My dad would take my brother and I all the time fishing, but he usually tried to take, on occasion, somebody else with us. Now, sometimes he had it set aside where it was just me and my brother and my dad, and we would go and do that. But many other times, he would take people with us. He would talk to them. Guess what we found out? You could have a lot of good spiritual conversations on a boat when people can't get away from you. But there was no trick involved. You didn't bait them and make them stay longer, you know, like, well, we're going to stay out here 12 hours. We told you to, but, you know, once you pray and receive Christ, we'll go back to shore. You know, we didn't do that, okay? But it's amazing when you get out with people. When you go play golf, take somebody with you. It's amazing the conversations that you can have when you finally get away from it all. If you buy that boat, invite me. I'm teasing. When you buy that boat, when you buy those jet skis, man, take your family. Do all those things, but find other people that you want to impact their lives. Maybe somebody else that could never afford something like that. Invite them in. Buy a new plasma TV? Great. Don't use it for just yourself. Be hospitable. Bring people in. Write over your pastor. I'll pray over it. It'll last longer. No, I'm kidding. But do you see the point? The vineyard's all around us. We just get so consumed with ourselves. Fourth one is this. And to me, this is the one that I do come across more and more. It's called hurts. The reason why we don't make it to the vineyard, the reason why we're not a part of what God's doing in the kingdom is this. We don't really trust God's heart. Maybe there's a couple scenarios like this. You feel like you've worked there and he doesn't even know that you're there. Man, you've been working for the kingdom, or at least you feel like that you have been, and God never gives you an attaboy or attagirl. What about this one? You need help in this particular vineyard, man. You've got a great vision for what God could do, and you're really working at that, and man, he's not sending you any help. What's the matter with him? Doesn't he care? You need help, and he hasn't shown up, or he hadn't even sent someone to help you out. Or what about this one? He is a God who is just self-centered with his own vineyard, and you don't matter. You're just working for the man, right? Just clocking in. God just waits for you to come back to say, how much did you do? That's not enough. Get back out there. Build a bigger ministry. What's the matter with you? You ought to be a better teacher in growth group. Matter of fact, you ought to go to a different one because you're horrible. You know, I mean, it's just all these things that go into our mind that Satan plants in there. God's heart isn't good. He's not near you. He's not going to send anybody to help you. Maybe tragedy within your own family, within your own home, hurts. See, for all of us in this room, there's something within one of those, I'm sure, that I've hit on. And I can tell you it's hit on in my own life. It's easy to become self-absorbed. It's so easy. I think the phrase that always comes back to my mind is this: be hospitable with your life. Be hospitable with your life. Invite people into it. Not because you've got all the answers, because somebody may be working in the vineyard and think they're the only one. You ever been out somewhere, somebody sends you out to work somewhere, and pretty soon you look around, there's no one else, and you're like, wow, do I feel alone? And sometimes that's what it feels like. Vineyards all around us. Here's the last point I want to make, and then we'll close. And I think this will maybe help some of us in our mindset. See, we don't have to work in the vineyard. We get to. There's a radical difference. I don't have to work. What God's doing in the world, I get to. Because the only thing that's going to last is His kind of stuff. And I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of things that don't last. I can't stand that. I want to be a part of something that lasts. Something meaningful, something purposeful, something beyond me, something bigger than me. That's what I want to lead my family to do. I love it that Josiah loves sports. But in the end, what I want him to understand is, regardless of whether he's good at it or bad at it, or in between, I hope he makes an impact for the kingdom through whatever that is. Personally, I don't want him to be a pastor. I don't. Because a lot of times as a pastor, I go, man, would I make more impact if I wasn't a pastor, if I was doing something else? For me, I'm like, not going to talk him out of it, but I'm just like, wow, Josiah, do whatever makes the most impact. Do whatever makes the most impact. Use sports to make the most impact in people's lives. Because one of these days, Josiah, you're going to be on a team and you're going to find out that half the little boys on your team at their daddies don't show up for games. Some of the little boys' daddies never show up for life, let alone games. And Josiah, you've got to be there for them. It's got to be bigger than the soccer ball. It's got to be bigger than basketball. Make an impact. Be in the vineyard, because you get to, not because you have to. I want everyone just to bow their heads and close their eyes this morning. I don't know where you are with God. You can totally fake me out and tell me everything's great, and maybe it's not. Some of you, you can be honest and you say, well, I'm in category number one. I'm not going and I don't care. And at least you're honest. At least you're truthful. At least you're not up for a show. Maybe your heart's been softened this morning. Maybe some of you are in that second, you know, kind of category there. Maybe you're in the third where blessings have come your way and they've rerouted you rather than you forming it. You've allowed the very blessings of God to become preeminent over the God who blessed you. And then maybe some of you here in this morning, man, it's about hurt. It's about, I don't know that I trust God. And I want you to know that there's many times in my life that I've questioned whether God even cared, if he was around, if he even knew what I was trying to do. He didn't send somebody my way. He didn't show up. But it was like I clocked in every week. And I miss the heart of God. Because what he was trying to get across to me was, and maybe what he's trying to get across to you is this: you don't have to, but you get to. Because it's what will last. And so in your heart of hearts this morning for everybody, I don't know which one that you're in or which one spoke to you the most, but maybe this morning, maybe a revelation has happened, an epiphany where you've realized, man, the vineyard's not something way over there. It's my everyday life. It's not something I do on Sunday. It's what I do with the rest of me. And maybe this morning, each and every one of us needs to just pray, God, don't let me miss the vineyard that you are calling me to, that I will make maximum impact in. And maybe you want to pray this morning, God, I don't feel like you care. I don't feel like you sense my hurt. I don't even think that you've sent anybody, let alone yourself, to help me. And I'm just struggling with who you are. And in that openness and that honesty and that brokenheartedness, maybe you can just ask God to come near. And just know that it's okay to say, God, where are you? So, Father, we come before you this morning. Father, forgive us when our blessings that you've given to us have become preeminent over who you are. God, forgive us when we've just said no. Restore us to a right relationship with you, and Father, help us to understand in our heart that you are near, that you do care. And Lord, maybe in some special way this week, for everyone in this room who questions your heart, including me sometimes, that you would answer in a way that we would understand that you really do care. And Lord, maybe the answer to that was found in this very message this morning. And so, God, help us to understand that we don't have to, that we get to. We just pray all this in Jesus' name.